Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as co-pastors for this community of faith. And Linda is actually away this week with her family. They're over in a little town on the central coast called Cayucas, where they love to spend time and to just be along the coast. We have Omari away, and we have Hannah away, and we're grateful to have Krista with us on the piano, and to have Maddie again singing alongside Natalie, and to have each of you in this space joining us for worship together in the beauty of this day, and those that are gathering online. Kara is there as a host. I'm gonna invite us to stand as you're willing or able, and we'll move together into worship. Natalie will open us with a song that is something of a call to worship, a prayer, and I just invite you to take in the beauty of this moment, and we'll move together into Walk With Me.
By the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. By the grace with me.
Amen. I invite us to be seated and we'll move together in a spirit of prayer, allowing the words of this poetry and the images before us to take us ever deeper into the presence and mystery of God's love.
Having shared our bread, we know that we are no longer hungry. It is enough that you see me for myself, that I see you for yourself. That we bless what we see and do not borrow, do not use one another. This is how we know we are no longer hungry, that the world is full of terror, full of beauty, and yet we are not afraid to find solace here, to be bread for each other, to love.
Let's breathe in and breathe out. Welcome to the table UMC this morning. I'm Sarneet Prasad and the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We welcome those online. Kara is our host today, and if you have any questions, please reach out to her. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word NEW to 916-452-5016. If you're interested in learning more about Table Farm, which is a small farm we operate in Hollywood Park, text the word FARM to the same number. This will help you learn more about our farm and the ways we grow food alongside neighbors to give through South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. This morning I've actually met Izikwe. What a beautiful aura he has. I loved it. He was here checking our place, our community, and we were just talking and talking, and by the time we were having that conversation, I was like, I lost track of time. And I told him, Izikwe, you have a very Fijian aura, which I love that. I have a video that I want to share. This is from the movie Up. It's about volunteering. Okay.
afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54, Sweat Lodge 12. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
No.
I could help you cross the street.
No.
I could help you cross your yard.
No.
I could help you cross your porch.
No.
Well, I gotta help you cross something.
No, I'm doing fine.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54.
Slow down.
Sweat Lodge 12.
Kid!
Are you in need of
Thank you, but I don't need any help.
Ow.
Proceed.
Good afternoon.
Let's skip to the end.
See these? These are my wilderness explorer badges. You may notice one is missing. It's my assisting the elderly badge. If I get it, I will become a senior
Oh! I love that video, by the way. It's just the love and the sweetness of that little kid just warms my heart. And actually, it rhymes with the song we were sharing. Right? Believe in being ready. And I wrote this, and somehow they rhymed. I wrote, brothers and sisters, please let's get ready for hospitality. I was like, okay, that's good. I usually say this, why volunteer? I mean, not just the table, but in general, why we volunteer. And this is to spread love, to have a divine dance amongst each other, to grow, to learn, to explore, to make changes, and to be ready. And hospitality for me is, at least here, what I have experienced is the love and the care. I mean, there are days where I'm okay to say I'm not okay. And there are people within the team in the morning when we are setting up, they're there to give me a hug. And I'm there to give them a hug. We are ready to make this place beautiful, to make it live for you, for all of us to dance and just care. I encourage you, for each and everyone, to start using Church Center app. This is for sign up for future volunteering opportunities. It's very simple to actually download Church Center app. You can use your phone, your Apple Center, or your Google Play, and you can use that QR code, and we'll have it outside. And this will allow you to see our sign up for hospitality in the future or any available positions if you are signed up with Church Center app, and at the same time if you have filled out your hospitality form, which will link everything together. But I highly, highly encourage everybody to try Church Center app. It's like Facebook for churches. I invite you to remain seated as we continue to move in worship with The Only Way Through Is In by Kerry Newcomer.
Done it long ago.
this soft soul waits and hearts beat and break, and the real wars waged and won by some. This runaway train in a well-worn brain, more of the same can't be sustained anymore. So I walked in through that door, but it feels like trying, yet I'm still only halfway there. The only way out is through, but the only way through is in again, where it's hard as stone and close to the bone. Saw you make your stand, and I believe you can, you can. The only way out is through, but the only way through is in again, where the soft soul waits and hearts beat and break, and the real
good morning. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, Natalie. That was amazing, amazing. My name is Bob Martinez, and I am, like many of you, a volunteer here at the table, and gladly. At this time, I want to invite our children to move with their volunteers outside for summer children's activities as our musicians provide a little walking music. Walking music to continue. Our reading this morning comes from the 6th chapter of John, and I'll be sharing from the First Nations version, an indigenous translation of the New Testament, and as always, we invite you to follow along. When they could not find Creator sets free, Jesus, or his followers, they climbed into their canoes to go to Village of Comfort, Capernaum, to find him. Now, when they arrived at the other side, they found Creator sets free. They asked, "Wisdom Keeper, when did you get here?" Creator sets free ignored their questions and said to them, "Listen closely to my words. You are not looking for me because of the powerful sign you saw, but only because you filled your bellies with food. Why are you working so hard for food that fades away? You should work for the food that gives you the life of the world to come, that never fades away. The true human being will give you this food, for he has the Great Spirit's full approval. What does Great Spirit require of us, they asked, so we can do what he wants and have his approval too? Here is what he wants you to do, he answered. Put your trust in the one he has sent. What powerful sign will you show us that we should trust in you? They asked. What sign will you perform? When our ancestors were wandering in the desert, they ate bread, just as the sacred teachings tell us. From the spirit world above, he gave them bread to eat. Listen closely, Creator Sets Free answered. Drawn from the water, Moses did not give you the bread from the spirit world above. It is my Father who gives you the true bread that comes down from the spirit world above, the bread that gives life of beauty and harmony to the world. Honored one, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Creator Sets Free smiled, held out his arms to them, and said, I am the bread of life that came down from the spirit world above. The one who comes to me will hunger no more. The one who trusts me will thirst no more.
Thanks, Bob. As our musicians move down, I'll share just a couple words and then invite us into prayer. I am grateful to have Debbie with me this morning to help with communion. Debbie is one of the five people in our community who are exploring a sense of call to ministry, wondering about next steps. And for Debbie, that looks like the form of spiritual direction. And she's in a program now and starting to take on her first folks that she's seen as a spiritual director. And Sarnit is in that process or beginning that process as well. And then, as Linda shared last week, Spencer, who is with us in worship last Sunday, is preaching. He shared a message here at the table a few weeks back as part of a worship, and he is this morning preaching all out on his own down in Elk Grove at a church. And so I'm so grateful to be alongside folks who are feeling called by God and stirred in so many different ways to take next steps and practicing their faith. So I invite us just into a spirit of prayer as we continue to move in worship. Loving God, we give you thanks for the beauty of this moment. Help us to align our hearts and our minds, our bodies and our souls, with your good news. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your presence and be formed in ways that lead us into the new life you promise. Amen. Pastor Linda opened our three-week worship series that we're calling Olympic Faith last Sunday, and she did this. She shared a lot about delighting in the miracle of Jesus and the disciples feeding the 5,000, and she held this alongside the Olympic miracles that so many of us have been tuning in, whether we're watching in real time or we're tuning in the evening or just getting those catch-up moments late at night. And it was a delight, actually, for me to tune in to worship. Our family was along a lake in northern Wisconsin, and so I got to be out last Sunday on a walk in the woods. It was my first time to experience worship in quite that way. And a person from our administrative board shared this week that they and their family had been led by Linda's message to be more intentional about noticing those moments of delight as they were moving through their weeks. It's been easy, actually, if at least for me, tuning into the Olympics to see and experience some of these delightful moments. For me, it was pommel horse guy. Eyes closed, resting for seemingly hours as his gymnastics teammates competed, and then magically taking off his glasses and absolutely crushing a 45-second pommel horse routine that he says he doesn't need to be able to see to do this. He just does it by feel. This guy's smile and those glasses, it's just electric, contagious, delightful, at least for me. or the images of the rapper Flavor Flav. Yes. He stunningly heard about the U.S. women's water polo team going for their fourth straight Olympic gold, realized that they did not have the funding that they need, so he stepped in to sponsor them. He then heard about a Vanderbilt athlete who couldn't pay her rent and said, I've got you, direct message me, I'm gonna take care of rent. And then people gave generously and her rent's taken care of for the next year and a half, this student. We have folks in the Olympic Games who cannot pay their rent. This is the world that we live and move in. Flav says it this way, he says, women's sports should be paid more attention to. And there he is, putting his money where his mouth is. Delightful. While I was away, Pastor Linda got to dwell with you all in the miraculous story from John's Gospel that precedes where Bob was reading for us in the sixth chapter today. All of these delightful images, and I get to pick up where she left off, where the delight gets crushed, dampened. It's like, we should switch, but she did not agree, so she got to spend time there last week, and I meet you this morning with the images of delight fading away. One biblical scholar describes the scene that Bob opened with like this: it is a mob. They are at once aggravated and they are desperate. They commandeer boats to pursue Jesus. The atmosphere is tense and laced with menace. If you couldn't get into the delight image last week, this is for you. You are ready. This is your moment. The crowd finds its way, and maybe actually you've been there. Maybe some of you are there right now. Delight fades to fear, or to desperation even. In terms of the Olympics, it makes me think of just the images that I've seen. I was just a young child at that moment, but Mary Decker in 1980, the US-led boycott of the Moscow Olympics meant she could not compete. And so then in 1984, she was favored to win the distance, the women's 3,000. She was favored, she was moving in first place through most of the race until she wasn't and she fell. Delight fades to desperation. It's not just in Olympic moments. Our family was scheduled to fly to northern Wisconsin. We were scheduled to do so on Delta. We were supposed to leave Saturday morning. And like so many others, our flight was canceled, and then canceled, and then canceled, and then delayed. Thankfully, we were delayed here in Sacramento in our home. When we got to the airport, we saw all of the people whose bags were lined up all over the airport, and they were sleeping on mats. And it did. It felt a little bit like a mob in that space. Folks were agitated, aggravated, desperate, looking to commandeer either a plane or someone else's ticket to get on a plane. They wanted out. This is something like what this crowd shows up to Jesus feeling: agitated, desperate. Give us what we want. You fed 5,000. We want more of that, is the feel that comes to this. The First Nations version describes it this way: Creator Sets Free ignored their question and said to them, listen closely to my words. You're not looking for me because of the powerful sign you saw, but only because you filled your bellies with food. Why are you working so hard for food that fades away? You should work for the food that gives you the life of the world to come, that never fades away. The NRSV, which is a more accurate or a more precise, I guess I would say, English translation of the text, the more precise one, it says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. The Greek words are more literally the food that remains into eternal life. The food that remains into. See, the crowds want bread. The miracle of feeding the 5,000 is just finished, and they want more. And so Jesus says to them, there is something deeper than the bread you've just tasted. What's more, the deeper vision is actually right before you, Jesus says. I am the bread of life. It's as though Jesus is saying, you've been imagining an Olympic medal is the answer, and you want me to give those out. But I'm telling you, there is something deeper. There's something more going on in this moment. And Jesus points them to a deeper nourishment, a hope which is connected to eternal life, but not like most of us have been taught to imagine eternal life, I want to suggest. Reverend Dr. Matthew Meyer Bolton, he writes about it like this. Jesus does not say the food that gives you life after death. Afterlife is not his subject. For Jesus, eternal life is a mode of intimate, mutual indwelling with God that can begin here and now, well before death. Precisely as intimacy with God, it cannot be limited by death. But the key point is not that eternal life is a longer life, but rather that it is a life with and in God. In other words, as Jesus presents it in John, eternal life is a matter of quality of life, not quantity of life. Eternal life means a life of intimacy with God that transcends time altogether, in that sense, a timeless life of beauty and grace. The crowds imagine Olympic medals to be the goal. And Creator Sets Free points them instead to a deeper life of intimacy with the divine. And the crowds around Jesus do something that I'm quite prone to doing myself. They want to know the checklist for finishing this off. What are we going to do so that we can get this done and be on with it? What is the list for us to follow? The First Nation translates their response to Jesus, "What does Great Spirit require from us?" they asked, "so we can do what he wants and have his approval also." That's my kind of question. The other Enneagram ones and a few of the threes in the room are nodding along. What do we need to do to be good? What do I need to do to be good? Give us a list. I'm ready to check some things off. Notice, though, that this kind of question doesn't move us into a deeper sense of intimacy. It actually creates a lot of distance. Instead of intimacy and vulnerability with the divine, this kind of question also assumes a very particular image of God. An image of God as what I would describe as like a distant taskmaster. This kind of question assumes that checking off a list about being naughty or nice, we start to confuse God with some other icons of our day. Namely, God is no distant taskmaster. Ultimately, the crowds and oftentimes we too put our trust then in our own ability to ask for the list to accomplish, and then we go on our own. It's not so subtle, but insidious in the way we seek to control or to find power or to protect ourselves against the vulnerability that intimacy requires. Creator Sets Free challenges the crowds to root their trust not in themselves, but in God, God who loves them fiercely without abandon. In short, this is the work, says Jesus. Trust God. Trust God. Again, Matthew Meyer Bolton writes about it powerfully. In the Gospel of John, this is what faith is really all about. Not merely intellectual assent to some particular set of claims, but rather a deeply relational, emotional, intellectual, existential trust in God. A bone-deep sense that God loves us and cares for us. And a consequent impulse to live with love, gratitude, and grace. To be companions with God. And remember, the pan in companionship means bread. An arrangement Jesus eventually goes on to call friendship. So what does it look like to live as a companion with God? a companion with God. There's a pastor who has invited me deeply into that. Her name is Reverend Heidi Newmark. That's a picture of Heidi. She's recently retired. I met Heidi a number of years ago. We were both part of like a 10-person team. They identified 10 pastors from around the U.S. and Canada to gather together in Minnesota for a couple times. Actually, I think we met together 3 times for a series of retreats. We represented different denominational traditions, different expressions of Christianity. We were from different parts of the country and up into Canada as well. We were an eclectic group. Heidi was our Lutheran. She's from the East Coast. I was our Methodist from the West Coast. Folks were gathered together in this space. And Heidi shared a stunning image of St. Lawrence. And I want to invite you to hold this image with me as we think together about what it might look like to live as a companion with God. St. Lawrence, for those that aren't familiar, and I really wasn't familiar, so it's okay if you're not familiar with St. Lawrence. He was one of 7 deacons of the church in Rome in the 3rd century. Lawrence was the church treasurer, and his job included the distribution then of charity or giving generously and also caring for the church properties. And in 257, the emperor launched a persecution against the Christian church, started to seize all of the church's properties, and forbade people from gathering to worship. So on this very day, August the 4th, in the year 258, the Bishop of Rome and 6 deacons were discovered. They were discovered and they were arrested for gathering secretly in a cemetery to worship because their church properties had been closed and they'd been forbidden to go in. Those 6 deacons and the bishop were executed, and they were buried right there in the cemetery where they were found worshiping. Lawrence was not with them, so he was the only one of the church leadership who was left alive. The emperor wanted to get his hands on the church treasury, so Lawrence was valuable. And so the emperor had Lawrence tortured to give him the locations of all of the hidden church treasure that remained. And Lawrence finally agreed to gather all of the riches together from the varied disparate locations, and he insisted that he was going to need 3 days to do this. 3 days. And the emperor and his officials believe this. They assume that the treasure was so great, surely it'll take 3 days to gather all of this. And so Lawrence used those 3 days, the time he had. He started to give away everything that the church had to the poorest of the poor in Rome. He gathered together folks who were lepers, folks who were orphaned, folks who were widowed, folks who had been pushed to the edges, to what we call the margins. He started to gather folks who were blind, whose lameness meant that they were read by their community with fear and they were pushed out to the edges. He started to gather the poor people of the city. And then when the emperor came and demanded the church's treasure, Lawrence opened the doors wide so that the emperor could see where the poor and the marginalized had gathered. And he said, "Here is the treasure of the church. Here is the treasure of the church." The enraged emperor had Lawrence killed in Rome on August 10th. He was only 33 years old, the age that Jesus was when his life was taken. Matthew's gospel has Jesus say, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I am the bread of life, says Jesus. Here is the treasure of the church, said Lawrence. The emperor wants to hoard food that perishes. His sights are set on medals, false medals, awards that perish. Jesus longs for us to taste food that endures for life eternal, food that remains into eternal life. The crowds wanted Jesus to give them a simple list for how they could keep control of their lives and please the God that they imagine vengefully keeping score about how effectively they were doing it. Give us that quick list, the recipe to make sure we're doing it right. And Jesus says, I am the recipe. I am the bread of life. Lawrence trusted in the depth of this mystery. What might it look like for us to do so as well? How might trusting in Jesus as the bread of life lead us beyond mere intellectual assent, beyond desires for certainty that masquerade as control, that masquerades as faith, beyond the simplistic trap that imagines Christianity as some kind of saccharine dessert? How might trusting in Jesus as the bread of life lead us to a bone-deep sense of God's love for us and care for us? How might trusting in Jesus as the bread of life lead us to see the presence of God's love in every neighbor and truly treasure our neighbors, treasure every part of God's creation? How might trusting in Jesus as the bread of life lead us to truly companion God and neighbor in all that we do and all that we are? Perhaps trusting in Jesus as the bread of life actually leads us to a deep hunger as we come to the table. A deep hunger for justice and peace. A deep hunger for depth and delight. A deep hunger for intimacy and vulnerability. In short, hunger for love. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. Here is the treasure of the church, said Lawrence. May their ways become our way. Amen. As Debbie moves up and our musicians move forward, I'm going to invite us to move together here to the table, ever deeper into that hunger that God places within our hearts, ever deeper, ever closer to the bread of life that nourishes all of life. And to do so, we pause to recognize the ways that we stumble and fall short in living out God's hope for the world. And the church calls this a prayer of confession. So I'll invite us to stand either in body or spirit. And I invite us to share together with one voice this prayer of confession. Tender, loving God, have mercy on us. Like the crowd that followed Jesus to Capernaum, we want more miracles. We want more certainty. We want more control. Like the emperor in Lawrence's day, we lust for earthly treasure and we hoard false medals. Forgive us, we pray. Feed us once more with the bread of life and nourish us with your vision for the church. Amen. Friends, God meets us throughout all of time and in every place. In all of our misguided ways, God meets us with eyes of tenderness and love and forgiveness. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Here is the treasure of the church, said Lawrence. May this vision sink deep into our bones. God loves you. God cares for you. May the bread of life nourish us to live in response with love and and gratitude and grace, and may that be enough. Amen.
Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within each of us and within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We invite you now to turn and share a symbol of peace with those near you.
Amen.
Peace be with you. And with you. In the beginning, when all was chaos, water and earth had yet to take shape, and God, the sculptor, the painter, the creator, touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe. And to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water. And God reached to the sky and things with wings took flight. And God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, all of this is good." And in that moment, God rested in the beauty of life and creation. We didn't stay in that place of rest for long. God's people started to hoard those metals. We started to lose our way. And so God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out the bread of life and placed it in a form that the people might come to recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that we are and to call us to love God and to love our neighbors.
He could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other. But we couldn't accept that and we couldn't agree about it and we were afraid. The principalities and powers lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. In the end, Jesus was given away by the very people who thought they loved him best because the challenge was too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promises us, that he would never leave us alone, but would come back and take us home with him. Like those long ago friends, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us, or what his coming and going and coming again means to us. We can only be grateful and call out this mystery of faith.
Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Hosanna in the high, Hosanna.
on that night, when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover dinner, bread and wine, and he blessed it and gave thanks to God and said, "I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me." To pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples. We encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your own heart. Our God, who art
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen. I invite you to be seated.
All are welcome to the table of God's love in the United Methodist Church. The table is open to all people. All means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you may have nearby, and to share with us in this sacred time of breaking bread. If you are with others, we encourage you to take time to reflect on whatever might be stirring in your hearts by sharing aloud, praying for one another. If you're on your own right now, we encourage you to use this time to journal in response to whatever might be stirring within. Please know that whether you're online or here in the sanctuary, you don't need to be a member of this church or of any denomination to participate. We are all God's children, and this is God's table, open to all. In short, you can't make a mistake. We'll have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back. Each station has freshly made bread and gluten-free crackers in the center and juices in the cup. After breaking off a piece of the bread and dipping it in the juice, please make your way around the sides to pray with candles or return to your pews.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ, broken for you and for the whole world. And this is the cup of God's love and forgiveness and healing poured out for all.
Thank you.
we encourage those praying with candles to stay in a spirit of prayer for just as long as you might need or desire. Loving God, for the depth of this mystery through which you are revealed to creation, for the bread of life, we give you thanks. May your peace bind us together and make us one, calling us ever more deeply into your love that we might be the expressions of healing and hope your world so desperately needs. We offer this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, it is our hope that you will wonder about the next steps that the bread of life longs for you to take. And we know that those take many different forms. Many of us make part of our faith practice giving generously, and we do that in a lot of different ways here at the table. One of them is by giving of our own financial resources. We can do that here in the sanctuary with offering plates or online. There are so many different ways to reach in love. Sarneet was inviting us into some of those at the hospitality team. He will be out at the next steps table, I think, with others. If you have questions or would like to connect more or learn more about hospitality and how we practice that here at the table, Sarneet and others can meet you outside. He was talking about Ezekwe. Not everyone knows who Ezekwe is. Ezekwe is a baker. He's a baker in San Francisco who is now opening up his new bakery here out of our space called Rise Up. And if you've been watching the Olympics at all, Ezekwe shows up on an ad in the Olympics too. He's everywhere. And so outside, you'll find some amazing Rise Up bread. If you'd like to take that home, you can purchase that, or for those that have made a pre-order, you can find that just outside of the door as we move out in worship. We will also, Linda and I will be teaching together a series that we call Growing in Faith. We've done this for all of our years, for 14 years here at the table. We've done a version of this. This is a class that we teach together to help newcomers move more deeply into our community of faith. It invites us into what we call our kitchen tables, this heartbeat of our community, how we practice our faith. And Linda and I have been reworking that this summer, and others are going to be helping us. They've sent really nice messages offering different ways, different expertise that people have. So we're reaching out, beginning to do that process to revamp what growing in faith looks like. If you've already been through that process and you're in a kitchen table, you do not need to worry about a thing. You just keep practicing your faith in the way that you have been. For those that are newer to our community who might want to try this out, you can sign up on our website and we'll start to share the dates where we'll lead that series beginning in September soon. We're going to go out this morning to a historic hymn from the church. This is called Be Thou My Vision. So I invite us to stand either in body or spirit and to join our voices as you feel led. Of life, said Jesus. Here is the treasure of the church, said Lawrence. May we go with our lives rooted in that treasure and tasting the nourishment of the bread of life. Amen.